ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 ॐ नमो भगवते
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। यू आर ऑल वेलकम फॉर मॉर्निंग श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास एट श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम मंदिर इस्कॉन वृंदावन। We are reading from 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 9. And the chapter is entitled, Prahlad Pacify Lord with Prayers. So the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 15 chapters. And the subject matter of Bhagavat is, one of the subject matter of Bhagavat is Uti, or Karma Vasana. Out of the 10 subject matters, the one subject matter is Uti, or Karma Vasana. How we have a different nature because of the different karma, or the action, we have a reaction. So in these 15 chapters, first 5 chapters has a demonic nature. And Hiranyakashipu is represented by that demonic nature, Asuri Pravrti. And 5 chapter is divine nature. Prahlad Maharaj's characteristic and his prayers are given. And 5 last chapter, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked from Narad Rishi about the human civilization, the 4 Varna. And Sannyas, the duties of the sannyasi, brahmachari, vanaprastha, grastha. So in this way, human nature, divine nature, and demonic nature. So there are 3 sections in this 7th canto. And the whole canto is spoken by Narad Rishi. Indraprastha, the kingdom of Maharaj Yudhishthira, when he was performing Rajasuya Yajna. Because the opening of 7th canto is a question by Parikshit Maharaj. And this is about the partiality of the Supreme Lord. Parikshit Maharaj is saying in sixth canto, it appears that Supreme Lord is partial to the devotees like Indra, and he is is destroying the demons like Virtasura. So this is a question asked by Parikshit Maharaj. So seventh canto is answer to this question. The Lord is not partial to anybody. What about Prahlad Maharaj, the son of a greatest demon? But Lord appear as Narsingadev to protect him. How can you say that Lord is partial? He is impartial. He protected Prahlad Maharaj by personally appearing. So it is Lord reciprocate with everybody. Ye yatha mam prapadyante. So the whole canto is then Sukhdev Maharaj said, I am repeating you the same story or katha, which was similar question was asked by your grandfather Maharaj Yudhishthira from Narad Rishi, and I am repeating that story. And in this way, this whole canto is starting. So now, this section which we are discussing, Hiranyakashipu is delivered. Narsingadev is very... Well, Narsingadev and Varahadev are the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, representing actually anger. These are the two incarnations which represent anger. So, Narsingadev is so angry that all the demigods headed by Lord Shiva and Brahman, Varuna, Chandra, Indra, all the demigods, rishis, now headed by Narada, and all the higher planetary system, they people came and they wanted to pacify. And as they were offering prayers, Narsingadev was becoming more and more ferocious and angry. So ultimately, Brahmaji requested Lakshmi that you go and pacify, and Lakshmi could not do that. And she was also fearful, and then everybody requested Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj, when he offered his obeisances, then Narsingadev was immediately pacified. Then Narsingadev took the Prahlad on his lap, and literally licking, and he said, Kshamaswa Mam, please forgive me. You have suffered so much and I came late. So Kshamaswa Mam, please forgive me. You have suffered so much. And then Narsingadev says, what do you want now? So then Prahlad is offering all these prayers. He said, if at all you want to bless me that I should not have a desire to ask anything. And then he's offering prayers, and these prayers, the whole chapter is the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. And who is Prahlad Maharaj? He's one of the 12 Mahajans. He's one of the 12 Mahajans, Janako Prahlado. It means these are the teaching of a Mahajan. These are teaching of a Bhagavat Purusha. So these periods we should take as a teaching of Bhagavat. Mahajan, Mahajan, Gata Yena Pantha. Out of the 12, Mahajan, Prahlad is one of the Mahajan. So these are the teaching of a one Mahajan. And today's verse is focused on it's not possible to know God by anybody. At least those who are under the influence of three modes of material nature, they cannot know God. Even the great demigods cannot know God. They can know as much as God mercifully revealed to them, that much they know. What we speak of knowing God by anybody, even God don't know himself. That's what Krishna, he don't know himself actually, how beautiful I am and why devotees are attracted to me like Radharani, what they are relishing. So even Krishna and Ananta Sesh with he's glorifying eternally, but he's not able to find the end of the glories of the Supreme Lord. So the it's not possible to know the God. That's what the verse is. So let us recite this verse 49, 7, 9, 49. नै हिते गुणान् न गुणिनो महताद्यो ये सर्वे मनः प्रभृत्यः सह देवमर्त्या आद्या अन्तवन्त उर्गाय विदन्ति त्वाम् एवं विमर्श्य सुधयो विरमन्ति शब्दा नैते गुणान् गुणिनो महदादयो ये सर्वे मनः प्रभृत्यः सह देवमर्त्या आद्यन्तवन्त उर्गाय विदन्ति त्वाम् एवं विमर्श्य सुधयो विरमन्ति शब्दा नैते गुणान् गुणिने महताद्यये सर्वे मनः प्रभृत्यः सह देवमर्त्या आद्यन्तवन्त उर्गाय विदन्ति त्वाम् एवं विमर्श्य शुद्ध्यो विरमन्ति शब्दा न नाइदर एते ऑल दीज गुणाः Three qualities of material nature. Na, not. Gunaihi, the predominating deities of the three modes of material nature. Namely, Lord Brahma, the predominating deity of the passion, the Lord Shiva, the predominating deity of the ignorance, Mahat Adyaha, the five elements, the senses and the sense objects, ye, those which, sarve, all, manaha, mind, prabhrityaha, and so on, which means intelligence and ego actually. Saha deva martyaha, with demigods and the mortal human beings. Adi antavantaha, all have a beginning and the end. Vidanti, understand. He, indeed. Tvam, I have left one, Urgaya. Urgaya, O Supreme Lord, who are glorified by all saintly persons, Vidanti, understand. He, indeed, Tvam, your Lordship, Evam, thus, Vimarshya, considering, Sudhyaha, all wise men, Vimaranti, sees Shavada from studying or understanding the Vedas. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Neither the three modes of material nature, Sattva Guna, Rajo Guna and Tamo Guna, nor the predominating deities controlling these three modes, nor the five grass elements, nor the mind, nor the demigods, nor the human beings, can understand you, Lord, your Lordship. Why? For they are all subjected to birth and annihilation. They have a beginning and end. Considering this, the spiritually advanced have taken to the devotional service. Such wise men hardly bother with Vedic study. Instead, they engage themselves in practical devotional service. So this is the teaching of Srila Prahlad Maharaj. Who cannot know Supreme Lord?
Demons.
Even great demigods. Which verse of Bhagavad Gita is just jumping in your mind? Name vidho surganaha namah rishya. Neither the demigods know me, Surgana, nor Maharishi. Maharishi means great seers. They cannot know me. Why? Aham adhiri devanam. Because I am the source of them. How can they know me? And here the answer is, why they cannot know you? Adi antavanta. Because they have a beginning and end. So that thing which has a beginning and end, how can they know me, who is beyond beginning and end? The Supreme Lord is Govindam Adi Purusham. He is no end. He is not Adi Antavanta. So they cannot know me. Therefore, what one should decide? He should decide Urgaya. Urgaya means Uru Gaya. Gaya means singing. And Uru means the glories of the Supreme Lord. So who are glorying the glories of one who is singing glories of the Supreme Lord, which is the Anga of a Bhakti? Kirtan. Kirtan, right? The Kirtan, when they are singing the glories of the Supreme Lord, they are doing Kirtan. Right? And this is the most important Anga of the Bhakti. In first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Sukhdev Goswami was answering that anybody who wants to be free from the chanti abhayam, he should be, when he wants to be free from fear, what he should do? Shrotavyam kirtatvyam simrtam yascha. Three things. Shrotavya means hear, kirtatvya means glorify, and simrtya means remember. But then the rishis are saying three are too much, please tell only one. Then by the verse 11 in a second canto, first chapter, he says all the rishis has unanimously accepted kirtanyaha. Only kirtan is the topmost. So this urgaya means kirtan bhakti. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has specially appeared in this yuga to propagate this chanting of the congregation, chanting of the holy name. So this kirtaniya sadaharihi. So urgaya means the saintly person. They are always glorifying the Lord, means they are doing the kirtan. So when they are doing the kirtan, definitely the people who are around there is hearing. So this is also is a more beneficial. Kirtan is more beneficial. Why? It's not only purify oneself, but it purify the whole atmosphere. It's a big yajna. Yeah, Sankirtan is a yajna. It purify the whole atmosphere. So they are doing urgaya because they said it's not possible to understand God because nobody is understanding God. Even the great demigods like the Lord Shiva, they are not able to understand. So what we should do? We should simply glorify Lord. We should glorify Lord, but Vedas, but there is a need of a study of the Vedas. So then they say, Vimarshaya, Vimarshaya. Where is this word Vimarshaya in Bhagavad Gita? After speaking whole Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna, Vimarshaya se shena. Now you think about this, now consider this on your own and do whatever you want to do. So Vimarshaya means really doing the pros and cons of all. Oh, we study Vedas. Shall we do sacrifice? Do we give charity? Oh, or we should do only kirtan? So you just consider all the pros and cons of all the different method of self-realization. You know, that's what it means, vimarsya. So those after considering, Sudhya. Who was considering? Sudhya. Sudhya means wise man. Sudhya means purified. And who is purified? 100% purified. What is the word for 100% purified in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second verse? Nirmatsaranam satam. Nirmatsaranam is 100% pure. So Sudhya means purified. So they have no, they are not envious. They are not envious of those who are actually studying Vedas. They are not envious of those who are doing yajna. It means it's free from envy. So there, meaning free from envy, that's most important. It's not that they, like when Srila Prabhupada was, you know, speaking about Mayavada and something, it's not that he was envious of them. It was he was establishing the parampara, the philosophy of the Vaishnavism according to parampara. It's not that he was envious, he was giving respect when they were coming. As a philosophy he was discussing, but as a person he was not against anybody. He was not envious of anybody. So Sudhaya is the most important word. When we speak something, we should not have any grudges or any enviousness or any bad feeling towards anything. This is Sudhaya, sadhu, purified. What they do? Viramanti, viram. You know viram word? Viram. Viram means stop. This is even in the drill or something, there's vram. It means they stop. No? It's a vram. So they stop. What they stop? Shabdat. What is shabda? Ved is a shabda brahm. They stop this. Why they stop this? Which verse of Bhagavad Gita we quote immediately this? Krishna's advice. Vishya Vedat. No? What is that? Triyagunya Vishya Veda Nistruguno Bhava Arjuna. Because the Vedas deal with three modes of material nature mostly. And I am beyond three modes of material nature, Krishna is saying. Therefore you have to come beyond three modes of material nature, therefore you can know me only. If anybody wants to know, and because the first line is, because everybody is under the influence of three modes of material nature. Even the presiding deities of the material mode of material nature. But somehow, Srila Prabhupada has not given the name of Vishnu. Two only presiding deities, he said, Brahma and Shiva. Because they are Jiva Tattva, a little transformation. But Vishnu is a Vishnu Tattva. So he is not included in this case. So come beyond three modes of material. And which is the process to come beyond three modes of material nature? Māve bhicārena bhakti yogena sugunāna samati taitāna brahma bhūyāya kalpate. So this is the only method. Therefore they have taken to this process of devotional service. So there is no word actually devotional service in this verse. But Srila Prabhupada has given two times devotional, practical devotional service. And they are engaged in devotional service. And this is taken from Urgāya and Sudhya. Because they are wise, they are pure, and they are singing the glories of the Supreme Lord, which is the method, which is the process of bhakti. Is it okay? This is what the translation is. Now, Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in several places, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati. Where is this Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati? 18th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati. Which is the verse before this? Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atmana Sochati Na Kankshati. What it means actually? Until and unless one comes to the stage of Brahma Bhuta, which means beyond three modes of material nature. What is Brahma Bhuta? Again you repeat the same verse. Vicharena Bhakti Yogena Sa Gunana Samatai Tetana Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. They come to the stage of Brahma. And here this verse says Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atmana. They are completely satisfied, blissful. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Sochati Na Kankshati. They have no lamentation. And they have no hankering. Samasarveshu bhuteshu, they are equal to everybody. That is shuddhe. They have no enviousness. They are completely pure. Then what they can do? They do? Labhate madbhaktim param. Then they can practice my para bhakti, my superior devotion, which means uttama bhakti. It means uttama bhakti is practiced after the stage of brahma bhuta. And normally the people are at the level of jiva bhuta. So there are two varieties of the living entities. One is jiva bhuta, one is a brahma bhuta. Jiva bhuta is a conditioned living entity with three modes of material nature. And brahma bhuta is a liberated living entity. This liberated living entity is by practice of devotional service. Is it okay? So this verse, next verse is only by devotion the Supreme Lord can be known. Only by the devotional service can the Supreme Lord be understood. Is any verse anybody remember like this, similar? Because Srila Prabhupada said several places. What are the other places where the same thing is said? Bhaktyatvananyashakya aham evam vidho arjuna gyatum drishtum cha praveshtum parantapa. 11th chapter, okay? Bhaktya, only by bhakti, not by any other means. Shakya, possible for to know me. Then three things. Gyatum means they know. Drishtum means they see. And parveshtum means they enter into my pastimes, into my abode. You gyatum, drishtum, parveshtum. Three things. You know, see, it means the bhakti gives everything. Gyan only gives gyatum. Knowledge only gives to know. Yoga only gives drishtum, you see, in samadhi. Bhakti gives gyatum, drishtum and parveshtum, all three together. So, several places, these are the two places in Bhagavad Gita, but many places we can only by bhakti. Bhaktya, ekaya bhaktya, in 11th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. Najvam sadhyati yogo na parvachanena. Many people, only by devotion I can be known. Ajita, one who is unconquerable, is conquered only by devotional service, there is no other way. So only by devotion I can be known. That's the first Srila Prabhupada's. The intelligent person, the devotee, is a singular. Intelligent person, the devotee, does not bother much about the practices mentioned in text 47. Mona vritta shrutta tapoho adhyayana swadharmaha. Because Prahlad Maharaj earlier said that there are 10 practices for an intelligent man to be self-realized. And this one is mona, not speaking anything. Mona is austerity of what in the Bhagavad Gita? It's not of tongue, it is of mind. You know, mauna means not speaking actually, it's not like that. The mind should stop from thinking of anything and focus on Krishna. Why? Mind is opulence of Krishna, indriyanam manas chasmi. So mind is opulence of Krishna. It can only be peacefully rest in Krishna. Anywhere else it goes, it will come. It will just jump from every place. It will not be satisfied at any place except in Krishna. Because it's Krishna's vibhuti. It's Krishna's opulence. It can only get peace in Krishna. Therefore in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna directly says, "Mai arpit, give me mind. Mai arpit mano buddhir. Mai ev man adhastva. Man mana." So he's always saying, only give me mind, give me. You are trying, your mind is taking you from one species to other species, one body to other body. So this mind is a biggest enemy, because you cannot fix it anywhere. It can only be focused on me, not at any other place. That is what actually it means. So all these mona vartha, shurta means studying Vedas, tapo austerity, Adhyan means studying. Swadharam means varnashram dharam. After understanding the Supreme Lord through devotional service, such devotees are no longer interested in the studies of the Vedas. Indeed, this is confirmed in Vedas also. The Vedas says, Kimartha vayam adhyasyamahe, Kimartha vayam vakshyamahe. What is the use of studying so much Vedic literature? What is the use of studying? What is the use of explaining them in different ways? Anybody can, by these two statements, anybody can have some pastime? Of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is speaking so much different Vedas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, it's all right, but the other pastime is Prakashan, Saraswati and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All these Vedanta, I bow down to it, but I am only chant Hare Krishna, that's it. So it is actually what is written, Srila Prabhupada is written here, it is practically demonstrated by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is not interested in Vedanta. He is not interested. Jyotir Sannyasi, you must study Vedanta. I am teaching, sir, but I am teaching Vedanta to the sannyasis. In 7 days he was speaking and Mahaprabhu did not speak any word. And then he was actually, this is another good, anybody who is talking, you just listen and then he will be frustrated. You don't talk. This is a very easy way to frustrate anybody, don't talk. Then he will ask, you don't understand me. And then you tell, what you are saying, I cannot understand, but what is written, I understand. So this statement is practically demonstrated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we are follower of teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Rupa Goswami. We are Rupa Anugas. We are not interested. They were all great scholars sitting here. And this is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Please write the Bhakti Shastra. Take from all the Vedic literature the cream of Bhakti. And personally for 10 days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Ras Amrit. He said, this is Bhakti Ras Amrit Bindu. I'm giving you a drop, now you expand it. It's 10 days. Bhagavad Gita is 45 minutes only. And that is so popular all over the world. 10 days teaching continuously to Srila Rupa Goswami, that is Bhakti Ras Amrit Sindhu. In 2 months, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally instructed Sanatana Goswami about the three special unique siddhanta or conclusion of Gauriya Vaishnavas. Sambandha, Jnana, Abhidhi and Priyojan. For 2 months, Supreme Lord gave a full time to Sanatana Goswami to explain all these. So how rich and useful are all these? So this is not in Vedas. It's not. We cannot find this in Vedas because Veda deal with most of the portion of the Veda is a karma kand, and then there's a little jnana kand. Upasana is. This is sometime. This is what Narad was telling to the Vyasadeva. You have given us so much literature. Your character is spotless. You are son of great Parasar Rishi. And your austerities are also well accepted. And you have actually compiled this Mahabharata, which is like fifth Veda. But still you have not glorified the Supreme Lord. Urgaya, you have not glorified the Supreme Lord. And then, Vyasadeva said, no, I have given everywhere the description of the Supreme Lord. And then Narada said, yes, you have given everywhere, but it is like a drop in ocean. They say, one seed of cumin seed in a mouth of a camel. Cumin seed in a mouth of a camel. What is the... Is a mustard seed in the mouth of a camel has any value? So, and some person went to a restaurant and he asked, what is the sabzi, what is the vegetable? He said, pumpkin and grape. He said, how much? He said, 50-50. He said, bring. So vegetable came, it was all pumpkin. He said, you said pumpkin and grape, where is grape? He said, I said 50%. You said 50%. He said, yes, one pumpkin and one grape. So one pumpkin and one grape, so how much, what you will get in your plate? Only pumpkin, no? So that's what all the Vedic literature is. Everything is pumpkin and Krishna is a grape which is missing. You cannot find. Even if it is there, you cannot really locate it where it is. So this is the state of affairs here, what Srila Prabhupada is speaking. Everything is so elaborate, but there is no Krishna. There is one mall in Ahmedabad, it's at ISKCON, because it's near to the ISKCON temple, because ISKCON is popular, they have ISKCON mall. We have a case going on, but they have no K in that ISKCON. So ISKCON without Krishna. ISKCON without Krishna. So this is useless, and then most of them are closing. There is no Krishna, this is ISKCON, I-S-C-O-N. So it's like without Krishna. So all this Vedic literature is like ISKCON mall. You have all the things except Krishna. There's no Krishna there. They don't want to say anything about Krishna. They twist everything Krishna here and there, Paramatma, Brahm, Ananta, all pervading, but who? They don't know. So Srila Prabhupada is here speaking. Indeed, this is confirmed in the Vedas also. So what is the use of explaining and studying Vedas if we don't reach to the conclusion of the Vedas? And what is the conclusion of the Vedas? Vedeshcha sarve ahameva vedyo. This is Bhagavad Gita. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Krishna is to be known. There's a verse, there's a lecture by Srila Prabhupada here in Vrindavan on this verse in 76. He's saying, well, this all the Vedic mantra is with the Om. So some people want to only chant Om, they don't want to chant Krishna. That's all right, Prabhupada, that's all right, let them chant. But they, and once I think, somewhere, so we will chant Om, we will not chant Krishna. So the answer given is like this. When the child don't grow to speak something, he only cries, ooh. Even he calls his father, he says, ooh. But when he's grown up, he will not call his father by ooh. He will say, name of the father, Gopal, come here. So the chanting of the om is like a child's cry. Wah, 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 it's like... So this is the stage when he's not able to know really what is the name of the God. So it takes time him to grow him and to reach to the stage where he can know the name of the God. What is the use of studying? Okay. What is the use of explaining them in a different ways? Vayam vakshamahe. No one need to study any more Vedic literature, nor does anyone needs to describe them by philosophical speculation. Bhagavad Gita 2:52 also says, Yadate moha kalilam buddhirvyati tarishyati tadagantasi niravedyam shrotavyasya shrutasya cha. So after this verse, Arjuna was alarmed actually. Huh? What? He gave up Vedas. Then what he's asking? What is sthita pragya? What is samaya? So Krishna is asking after this wise, sthita pragya is a wise man. Suddhi. So he's asking this question after this verse. And Sri Krishna spoke this verse simply to make Arjun inquisitive. Because he has to explain all Bhagavad Gita. And he wanted him to speak. So he said this verse. What is the meaning? When one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead by executing devotional service, one sees the practice of studying the Vedic literature. Yadate moha kalilam. When you are buddhir vyati tarishyati, when your intelligence surpass all the forest. This says, are the forest something word is there in translation. Can you find the verse in translation? 252. Well, forest, this is a forest. Yadate moh kalilam buddhi, when your intelligence... Kalilam means forest. When your intelligence come out of the forest of this material existence actually. Tada gantasi nirvedyam shrutavasya shrutasya. Whatever you are heard, heard means heard Veda. Shruti is Veda. And what you have heard or what you... Shrutav is what you have heard. And shrutasya, what you study. Tada gantasi nirvedyam, you become nirveda. You give up Veda. And there is another similar verse in 6th canto, 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Those who come back after the... said there are two destinations for the unsuccessful practitioner. One is... What is the first verse? Athva yogi nam evak, this is the next one. Pura abhyasena te naeva hirate vaso api sa. Now, those who already have completed 90%, when they come back, they give up all these studies of rituals of the Vedas. Avasa, without any effort, they just give it up. You found the verse? Shruta, there's also similar, exactly similar verse. You found it? Jigyasu api yogasya shabda brahmati vartate. This is shabda here. And also here is Vishram, there is apti vartate, means giving up. So those who are really high, that's what actually shuddhate here means then, those who have already practiced devotion 90%, they will give up. It means not ordinary person should not give up the study of the Vedas. But those who are shuddhi, those who are purified, those who are already completed 90% of their practice, they can give up. There's no need. And who is the one praying like this? Madhavendra Puri, what is saying? Sandhya Vandana, I bow down to you. Vedic study, I bow down to you. You, Tirth Yatra, I bow down to you. I cannot practice this. Why? Because I have developed a loving devotion to the Madhudvesha, Madhava, Krishna. So until and until we develop that love for Krishna, it's not to say that I have given up all these things. So it has to be done. Therefore bhakti has to be practiced. When we practice, we should practice as a sadhak. We may be liberated. A person may be liberated, but he should practice like a sadhak. Prabhupada was liberated, but he was chanting every day. He was writing books, he was preaching, he was liberated, there's no need. So sadhak rupena. So it should be practiced by like a practitioner, even if somebody is liberated. That is the and but internally he may have his own mellows with the Supreme Lord, siddha rupena. So this is they practice devotional service. Now, elsewhere it is said, Aradhito Yadi Haris Tapasa Tata Kima. Which means, if one can understand the Supreme Personality of God and engage in His service, there is no more need of severe austerities, penance, and so on. When by dancing in Kirtan we can perform all the yogas, then why should we waste time in a yoga ashram? This is what it actually means. When Srila Prabhupada went with his devotees to the Mishra's yoga studio, and when he started actually dancing with the devotees there, then all the students said, all these yogas what we do, we can see everything what you practice is exactly the result of the yoga. So if you are able to dance in a kirtan of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then the all yogas you give up like a stool. But people will not give up. They hold on these yogas. This is a foolishness. Because we are not able to dance, that is a problem. But out of the 64 anga of bhakti, dancing in front of the deities is a anga of the bhakti, is a limb of the bhakti. But yoga is not limb of the bhakti. Yoga is not limb of the bhakti. Anga, in 64 items there is no yoga, there is no knowledge, there is no renunciation. But dancing is the anga. Dancing in front of the deities. All the sins are immediately eradicated, purified. Yoga can only make your body fit, but dancing in the Krishna will purify the heart and elevate the consciousness to the level of Krishna consciousness. So those who are doing yoga, come and dance in the kirtan, no more yoga. That's what it means. Why to do all these tapasya and everything? When by dancing you can get the same result. However, if after performing severe austerities and penance, one does not understand Supreme Personality of Godhead, such practices are useless. Hare Krishna. Here ends the purport of this verse. Thank you very much. Anybody has any question or comment? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, I want to ask that in 18.71 Bhagavad Gita,
which?
18 chapter, 71st verse.
1871.
Yeah. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is telling that the devotees, like Krishna is saying, Nachayatam Atapaskaya Abhaktaya Kadachana. We should not give the reveal this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to those who are not faithful and not devotees. But devotees, because of their compassion, they hold open classes, and in these classes anyone can come. So Prabhupada in purport is saying that there may be some people, those who may not be devotees, but they are not envious of Krishna. So devotees give them opportunity to hear about the message of Krishna so that they become purified and they get elevated. Then Prabhupada is saying that they, even if they are not able to come to the platform of pure bhakti, still, by hearing, they will become purified and they can elevate to Dhruv Loka. Prabhupada is saying Dhruv Loka. There is a planet of Dhruv Loka. So they can go there. So I just want to ask that we are practicing devotional life. So if we are not able to become completely pure and like just trying to advance, so whether we have to come back to complete or we have to go to Dhruv Loka or some other place to complete.
Hare Krishna. Interesting. Very, the first part of your whole question is, Prahlad Maharaj was not actually revealing the secret to Hiranyakasipu, his teacher. He only revealed to the innocent students from where he learned. So this explains the philosophy, we should not speak to the faithless people. So this is Prahlad Maharaj's example of this. When they asked from where you learned, he did not tell them. He gave some other philosophical answer. But as far as you are saying Dhruva Lok, there are two types of liberation. One is called Sadhya Mukti and one is Krama Mukti. Krama Mukti means step by step, going to Dhruva Lok, going to other Lok, going to other Lok, because they are like tourists, they want to go to the different places. And so then ultimately they will go there. So Gopu Kumar's journey is like that in a Brihad Bhagavatamara. Sadhya Mukti means where Krishna will come, Bhavami Nicharata Paratha Mayaveshit Chetsam. I will come personally and take you from material world back to Godhead. So devotees usually are interested into the going directly to the back to Godhead by mercy of Krishna. But the tourists, they want to have a Krama Mukti, they go step by step. So that's also all right. At least they will get, well, the word they are used is they will go to the planet where the saintly people live. The word is like that. Well, they will not go back to Godhead, but they will go and get a planet where the saintly people live. So Dhruva Lok is like that, which is not any related when the Brahma's night comes. So they will be having an association of the devotees there. And then they can purify. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya, Granthra Śrīmad Bhāgavat Mahapurāṇa ki jaya, Gaur Nitāya ki jaya, Krishna Balaram ki jaya, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya, Radha Śyam Sundar, Lalita Viśākha Devi ki jaya.